Welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. Buckle up for some large explosions and some great nerd talk. Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Guys, and welcome to season 2 episode 6 of the Analog Assault Podcast. And we have no prime time tonight, so we got to be a little more extra prime, but we do have Rad back. We have Lupo.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we have Crow.
Hey,
what's up, Rad? It's good to have you back.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I mean,
it's good to be back.
Did you have a fun birthday? At least
I did. I was at an all-paid-for inclusive resort, so I made good use of the birthday time. That's all I'll say about that. Nothing was said or done that I care to repeat. So, it was a fun time. I got to see a lot of my husband's family, who we don't see very much because they're not in Florida, and they traveled here for the festivities. Not my birthday. We were there for a wedding, and then my birthday coincided, so...
Yeah,
it was nice, but I am glad to be home.
Nice.
Glad to be back.
Well, guys, we have a few things to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about a little bit of Loki, a little bit of Shang-Chi, Bad Batch, Dark Alliance, obviously, as it came out this week. And then we have a few other couple of topics to talk about for the night. So let's get this party started. And we're going to do what's called On the Clock, as all you guys out there know. That's where I give each host 2 minutes to tell me what you've been doing, what you've been playing, what you've been watching. So tonight, Rad is back, but we're not starting with her.
That's okay.
Who we're starting with? Oh, I forgot to mention as well. We have this fancy thing called a buzzer. And if you go past the 2 minutes,
fancy.
I'm buzzing you, baby.
It's the epitome of...
Fancy.
Oh, we fancy, huh?
Spend no expense.
We're going to start with Scarecrow. You're on the clock.
Okay, let's see. I watched Loki. We're going to talk about that later. I watched Bad Batch. What else did I watch this week? I actually started... never had watched the fourth season of Rick and Morty. So I was like, I threw that on, just kind of watching through that, just to kind of catch up on that. It's such a weird show, but it's good to just have something on in the background. Then what did I play? Basically just been playing NGS, Genshin, and a little Destiny. Did a little bit. The story is getting kind of interesting. Starting to get somewhere. That's really it. I've been just working a lot and playing what I can. A little bit that I can. I know that's really fast, but boy, not as much
this
week.
Okay, you had a whole extra minute, so fancy buzzer does not even get to... I'm not even close to it. I can't even touch it. I can't even look at it. It's like...
Just the tease.
Crow's getting good at the
teasing you with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's close the blast cap, you know.
Yeah. So next up, Lupo, you're on the clock.
All right, so I didn't watch any of the things that we are going to talk about this week. Bad Batch and Loki. I watched the first episode of Loki and fell asleep through it, and then we kind of just been caught up doing other things over the course of the weekends and stuff like that, family parties and stuff, so haven't gotten to do Bad Batch or Loki at all yet. So in my spare time, I started and finished an anime called Darling in the Franxx this weekend. It was very good. I really, really enjoyed that. I've been like on a mecha kick lately, so that was something that I've been looking to do for a while.
Wait, you thought Giant Space Waifu was good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, for sure. But playing, I played some Destiny. I've been playing a whole lot of Apex, as I've been usually talking about the last couple of weeks, which we got a new event coming tomorrow. Tomorrow? Or Saturday?
No. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
It was the
29th. 29th, right. I've had it flipped upside down.
It do be that way sometimes.
And my kid just got Cuphead, so I've been trying to kind of show him what Cuphead's all about, and I'm really regretting that, because Cuphead might be one of the hardest games that I have ever played in my entire life, and I tried to tell him that before we bought it. So him and my wife started it up while I was doing something else, and she's like, "This game is really hard." I was like, "Yeah, that's what I said the first time." Like, so it was kind of fun just playing through that a little bit last night, and maybe I'll actually finish it now that he's gonna force me to. So that's my list.
Nice.
He was close. I saw the time.
He was close.
I tried to stretch it out.
Yeah, you guys are just getting too good at this. So Brad, you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock. Well, I wasn't here last week. Not that that would really have changed much. I do quickly just want to say, I don't know if this was said on my behalf. My favorite thing from E3 was A Plague Tale Requiem. I'm very excited that that game, that A Plague Tale, is getting a sequel, and I just wanted to make sure that my voice was heard. I do have some very amazing news for Crow. I think he already knows what it is. But my husband and I have finished Futurama. We got there, ladies and gentlemen.
Finally.
We finished it. It was very, very good. We loved it. We've seen it before, and it hit us right in the feels per usual. So that was nice. I have watched literally zero episodes of anything we'll be talking about this evening. In terms of playing, I have played a little tiny bit of Destiny, and every time I play it, minus raiding. So raiding is really fun. I enjoy raiding with the boys, but everything else I do feels like a waste of time, and I'm really looking forward to not, I don't play it anymore except for raiding, and then that is my single joy in that game. I've been playing a lot of Apex per usual, which I very much enjoy. I had some good games today on Loba. Love that lady. And I have been real deep into Andromeda. I've said, you know what? I'm going to play Andromeda. I'm going to complete the full series. And wow, the theories are rocking and rolling in this lady's brain in terms of what they're going to do with the next games. I have some theories. I was doing math, which is hard. I'm feeling a buzzer maybe coming in my future here. So maybe not. I've never had the buzzer.
You're good. You're good.
I could just keep going. So. So I have a lot of theories about Andromeda and the connection to the original trilogy and what the next game's going to be, and I'm really excited. So there's a lot of things going on in this brain up here. And I think that's all I've been playing.
You had an extra 6 seconds. That was plenty of time. Boy.
Perfect. Plenty of time. Perfect.
All right.
Mule, guess what? You're on the clock, baby. Let's go.
All right, let's go. All right, so caught up a little bit on Lois, our Superman and Lois, a little bit on that. That's such a good show, man, for a TV show. I think it does a really good job of showing a good Superman that's not like a film. I did, unlike everyone else on the cast, I did watch Loki, except for Crow. Crow's good. Yeah, I did watch Loki. I did watch Bad Batch. I just watched a trailer for Shang-Chi that looks amazing. That's pretty much it as far as shows, but playing, man, actually been playing a lot of Warzone. We had our first little Warzone tournament for MHG, which was actually really fun. It was just kind of like to test the waters and kind of see how things were. Also, I might be a little tired because I've done 3 podcasts in 3 days. So I've now jumped on to help Josh and co-host our Halo podcast that we're doing, Halo Infinite Podcast. So make sure you check that out.
Nice.
Of course, we do the Bendu podcast and then the Analog Assault podcast. So I've been doing a lot of talking, not as much playing, but the times I have been playing, it's been Warzone, Halo. Yes, Halo. I've been trying to jump back into that to knock off the rust. And that smid. Of Apex, just a little bit. I had to get in some arenas and own some kids. So, but that's
you. Did you finish Mass Effect?
No, I'm still playing that as well. I'm on the third one. I'm about a quarter of the way through. So,
okay.
But I have plenty of time, so you know I don't have to worry about that buzzer.
There you go.
So, guys, Loki. Okay, I gotta ask first. Wait, I got a story, actually. Can I tell a story?
Okay.
It's kind of a funny story.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm back on the clock. So
2 minutes.
This is just kind of give you guys an idea of how much my wife has also embraced the nerd culture, okay?
Okay.
So we have a new gate that we had put on our house, and we have a corner lot. So like it's a, like a big opening swinging gate. That's an 8-foot gate that opens up. So it makes the whole front of the house and the backyard connect together. So you can just like run back and forth. And we have this fire pit that's like right there by it too. So it's going to make it like a really cool space, right? For the kids to hang out in the summers and do little, you know, roast some hot dogs or something. And, as we were doing it, you know, my wife and I were talking about, we want to put a little arch over that big gate. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, and we were talking, I was like, we should do like the Lord of the Rings arch. And, you know, in, the Lord of the Rings, when Gandalf is looking to get into the mountain and he says, it's like a riddle and it says, speak friend and enter. And my wife was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, really? Like, yes. All right. This is awesome. So we're going to get somebody to metalwork it and actually put it up over our gate. But today, as we were talking about that, because we got the gate finished today, she was like, you know, quoting the movie, and she was like, speak friend and enter. And I go, Melon. And she just like started cracking up laughing and was like, of course you're going to finish that quote. And you know exactly that part of the movie. And I was like, I can't help it, man. I speak Elvish sometimes. So
that's great.
But that was my story. So sorry. She embraced the nerd culture. I'm going to get a Lord of the Rings reference at my house. So I'm excited. Hey, so guys, Rad Loki, Rad, do you want us to spoil some Loki, Lupo? Are you guys?
I'm not gonna watch Loki.
The guys I work with talk about it all day. So
yeah.
Okay. Crow, what did you think, Lupo, man? The big,
The big what? The reveal? Ending?
The reveal 3? About the variants. Yeah. What'd you think about that?
The TVA?
Yeah.
So are we going into just full spoiler here, or are we trying to keep it?
No, we're going full spoiler. If guys just skip ahead about 5 minutes if you don't want spoilers. So we're going full spoilers.
For 5 minutes, we're gonna, spoilers.
We're gonna have to like explain it to Rad Lupo just a little bit to make it make sense. So TVA is basically the Time Variance Authority, right? Yes, Time Variance Authority, and they run basically they're keeping the time the sacred timeline is what they call it. And there's all these people just working for them, working for the Time Lords, protecting the timeline. And at one point, Loki makes a comment in one of the episodes about, like, talking about where the universe and everything came from. And he's talking to the guy, and he's like, well, what do you believe? Like, where did you come from? And he's like, well, the Time Lords made us, and that's our purpose.
Yeah.
And we come to find out that, no, not really, that basically everyone in the TVA are variants, and variants are basically what Loki is. They're people who are breaking something on the sacred timeline, and they're like basically arrested to keep the time flowing correctly.
At least so, what we think is correct.
What we think, yes. Yeah. So that was a big change for what was going on. Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to really go more into that because we don't really know anything else.
Yeah. I mean, it made me think, what's Owen Wilson's character's name? Mobius. It made me think, like, maybe that's why he likes jet skis, because he came from that era.
It's probably why is that his old self probably rode jet skis
in the 90s, right? Like maybe that's what his thing. He was maybe
he has a remnant memory of it.
Yeah. But I thought it was really cool, man. Like it just the like reveal that, oh my gosh, they aren't like created by the TVA. They are all variants working for the TVA, and they're telling them that this is a sacred timeline. Is it really the sacred timeline? Or is it just like, oh, there's a multiverse out there. You can't control it. Because we know Doctor Strange knows about the multiverse. I mean, because the Sorcerer Supreme told him about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he defends the multiverse. So is he going to fight the lizard people? Like, you know? Like,
it's really going to be interesting. And I don't know.
Yeah.
The episode just ended like so oddly, like, I'm interested to see where it's going to go, because we have no idea now. Like, they're stuck there.
Well, we think they are. I think what they're going to, you know, try to do is create something to make TVA show up and then take some of their stuff, I think.
I mean, maybe, but they're like, we're just nerding out here. Lupo and Rad just look so bored.
Yeah, I'm not really bored. I'm just listening. Yeah, you're good.
But it's just like, well, like, the problem is they're in an apocalypse. No one's going to find them in the apocalypse.
Yep. Unless they somehow survive it. I don't know how they're going to survive it, but, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
So, go ahead.
I mean, I was just saying, they are, quote unquote, both Asgardian in the sense, as in, like, so they're stronger. I don't know if they can survive a moon crashing into them. Yeah, but we'll see.
Maybe Thor could. Thor could probably survive that, but yeah,
I don't know about that.
Thor's the man. No, I don't Thor's know, the man. He could.
Thor. I mean,
it's a celestial body.
He survived in space. Like,
he survived
almost dead
obesity.
Yeah, he survived. I mean, if you want to get real serious, he survived a serious bout of depression. Like,
oh boy.
I mean, yeah,
we went there. Yeah,
we could. Yeah. The dude is back on his feet, you know, at least from what we saw.
Serotonin pumping.
Yeah.
Feeling good about it.
So Bad Batch. I know you guys haven't watched it either. So it's more just Crow and I time.
it's Crow and Neil show tonight.
Radical segment starts.
Bad Batch. What'd you think about Cad Bane, man? What'd you think about that?
I did not expect to see Cad Bane. I'll be honest.
Nice hat.
I was expecting the other character that they've shown.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure who it is. I'm 99% sure I know who it is. But yeah, as soon as I saw dead clones, I'm like, this can't be that character.
Yeah. I was thinking Boba. I was thinking, that's, you know.
See, I didn't know at all. Like, I thought it was going to be Obi-Wan show up.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, he hears about a group of clones, and then maybe he's working with Rex kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not expecting Cad Bane. I'm trying to remember exactly how that ended, because it was like a
standoff. Watched it. Like, if you watch the unproduced season 7 of when it was supposed to be Cad Bane versus Boba Fett, and it tells how Boba Fett got his dent in his helmet. Because it's not canon since it was never published. It's almost a mirror image of that, but with Hunter. And you just see how much of a bounty hunter he is, because the way he shoots, he grabbed the gun from the hip and the shot from the hip. While I was like talking, like, my boys were like, how did he get Hunter? Hunter's like a really BA warrior. I was like, well, if you watch, he pulls his gun up like this, like comes across his body to bring it up to aim. And, you know, Bane, he just pulls it out and poop like a gunslinger, you know? And so that, I was like, that's why he's better. He's like, he's got that experience, you know?
I mean, Cad Bane, he's fought Jedi.
Yeah.
He's killed Jedi, I think.
He held off Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, and Quinlan Vosk. He held off Quinlan Vosk and Obi-Wan together, which says something. Like, to escape a couple of the best Jedi during the Republic era is, that says something. Not a lot of people that could do that. But yeah, I got a couple theories I shared on the Bindu podcast. I don't want to bore you guys with it, but I think one of the theories could definitely come true, and I'm going to be very interested to see if that happens, because if it does, get ready to have some tissues, guys, because there's going to be a major showdown. There's going to be some crying. So, all right.
Crime and tears.
Tears.
Dang, that's a crime in itself.
There was a really big game. Well, kind of big game, I guess you could say, that came out. A D&D game called Dark Alliance. Mm-hmm. And if you read the internet, everyone apparently says it's a bunch of crap and it sucks. And one headline was from Kotaku, and it said, Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance is a tragic mess. So Did any guys Project get a chance to play?
Miss. No, unfortunately not.
I didn't play it, but I've been like kind of following a lot of gameplay of it and people's experiences. And I think that based on all of that, I have enough info to be able to talk about it.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
What does Lupo have to say?
I have not played it, and I think I'm just going to reserve it for a time where things potentially get fixed, and then me, Crow, and Underdog will find a weekend to do it or something like that and just play
it's
through.
It's on Game Pass.
Probably.
That's usually what we end up doing, especially with something like this. So like, you know, if we have nothing to play and we're like, hey, look, like, this looks somewhat interesting, like we can, you know, probably wrap this up in a weekend. So maybe like a couple months from now. But we talked about it very, very quickly before that we started the podcast that like I had a guy at work literally page me over the loudspeaker before, like as he walked in for a shift. He's like, Lupo, where are you? And I was like, all right, I'm over here. He's like, all right. He's like, Dark Alliance. It's awful. It's worse. It's just as bad as the original one was. Because for mine, this is a remake. It's not even like a brand new game.
Okay.
So what was he saying was bad about it?
More or less remastered, redesigned, something like that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And they didn't really change a whole lot. You know, like all the demos and gameplay features that I've seen of it like look decent enough where it just doesn't look bad, like awful. But like connection issues and stuff like that have just kind of plagued a lot of the things going on right now, you know, just kind of like the general story beat from multiplayer experiences nowadays that aren't like PvP related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But something like a closed loop multiplayer like that, or like you're not interacting with hundreds of players. You're interacting with your 4-man squad.
Yeah.
Those, in my opinion, they should not have as many issues.
No, they shouldn't, but...
I can understand MMOs and bigger games like that. Like, Lupo's having problems keeping it up right now.
What? Like,
he is distracting.
I don't think that's the term that you...
Buzzer that,
you to look away from something related to Miranda Lawson with that statement. Like, that was a... hell of a statement.
Wow. Unfreaking believable.
My God.
My goodness.
Oh,
children.
One child, his name is Crow. The only thing that I've really gotten from it is that it's a little janky. It's not perfect, but that it's a very good time with friends. That's kind of the general consensus that I'm getting. And I think that's fair. Like, I think, you know, if it's not the greatest gaming experience, it deserves, if you will, to be criticized for that. But if it, and gaming, what I mean by that is the jankiness, the clunkiness. Yeah. But if it's good with friends, then it also deserves to be given credit in that respect. And that it is, it's getting both of those things. And so I think that the reviews of it have been fair in that regard. Yeah.
I'm seeing it like average somewhere like a 4 or 5 or something like that, and like, you know, meta type scores
out of 7 or 8 or 10
out of 10.
Well, I think that in today's day and age, the graphics are so important. I mean, it's so hard that for people to move past
good.
It.
The game looks good.
Visually, it looks great.
It looks good.
Well, the jankiness and the clunkiness and everything.
Yeah. The problem is that from the gameplay footage that I've seen, it looks like they took basically Kingdoms of Amalur and threw it in like a really nice polished.
Yeah, I'll say the combat is a little janky sometimes. Like, it's hard to like, but once you get used to it and know how to move your controller or your mouse for the combat, it actually is a crap ton of fun. It's a really fun hack and slash co-op game. Like, I was playing on PC, and I was playing with Prime and our friend IP and Fake, and I was jumping in the game seamlessly. We had a few disconnects the second night it released, where we'd come back from a mission and we'd be disconnected and have to re-party up. But you party up like that. Like, it's fast. You get back in the game really fast. And then when we played last night, we didn't have one disconnect. I didn't have, like, in my playthrough, I didn't have any bugs. So I don't know why it's getting such low reviews other than because other people low reviewed it. And so everyone else is just low reviewing it. For me, it's probably not something I'll play by myself. Like, if, like, some of the missions are a little difficult by yourself, especially if you ramp up the difficulty. But it gave me serious, like, Gauntlet Diablo vibes, man. And I was playing as a barbarian, and the loot flow is fun. I mean, it was just fun. It wasn't, like, overly complicated. There's a good loot grind. And I thought the level design was very beautiful. I thought there were some really good level designs that kind of felt very Diablo-like to me, where, you know, there's
D&D aspects as well. Like, negative about the visuals. Everything that I've heard is just, it's gameplay. Like, it's bugs very, and apparently very repetitive as well.
Yeah, it's a hack, like, and slash. It's like Diablo.
I think that's just like the loop of like a hack and slash game, though, is that you do get into that same like repetition of doing the same motions over and over and over again. You know,
the problem is that it's kind of marketed as this like actual, like, so this action Dungeons and Dragons game, which have a lot of different actions and things in them.
Yeah, you get those eventually. You have to unlock them in your abilities. Thing. You get like feats and abilities that you unlock as you play. So you'll get them eventually, because the combat at first feels a little lacking just because you don't have a lot of moves, but you level up pretty fast. Like, we got into some levels because Fake was already like level 15 or something like that, and we were all like level 4s and 5s. So we put it on pretty high difficulty and we could survive. And there's, when you're playing, you get to a spot where you can either rest and get all your potions back and things like that, and your health back and your stamina back, or you can say, I'm going to bypass that, and it ups your loot score, like your loot potential. So since we had Fake with us, so Fake was basically our healer. He was the archer, and there's like a healing aura he can put down. But it was, I found it pretty fun, man. As a hack and slash, I found it, I probably put in about 12 to 15 hours so far right now. But I found it to be very fun. I haven't had any really bad experiences yet. I know if you play solo, it gets a lot harder as you get higher up. But as something that's just like, hey, I'm going to hang out with the bros, it's like kind of like a Sea of Thieves. I feel like, where, like, if you're friends, it's really fun. If you're by yourself, it can be tough. But very, like, as Prime says in chat, very Diablo-esque. It feels a lot like, I got a lot of like Gauntlet, old school Gauntlet and Diablo vibes.
That's what I was going to say.
And I've tried out two different characters, the barbarian and the double-sworded elf guy. I can't remember what he is, but
the ranger.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were both really fun. I haven't tried the dwarf or the archer, but, And like I said, we partied up pretty seamlessly. Other than a few disconnects, that was my only issue. But so far, it's been fun. I wouldn't say it's like a 4. If I was rating it out of a 10 scale, I would probably say it's like a 6. Nothing like overly amazing, but it's a fun
six
game.
Is pretty, like, 6 is modest. Like, I feel like people just are expecting 10s every time out, you know, and I think that's just an unrealistic, like, expectations of any game at this point, you know? I think 6 is pretty honest, you know, and even like, you know, if it's a game that you're going to play a few hours with friends, like, the fact it's on Game Pass right now, both PC and Xbox, is definitely helping it. You know, like, I would say that's fair to judge 6.
I mean,
is okay,
I'm going to play it after the podcast, so if you guys want to give it a go with me, it downloads pretty fast, so and you can play it on PC. You can play it 144 frames on PC, so, you know, change your POV, so that's nice. But yeah, I mean, 6, I think, is a pretty, it's saying it's not amazing, but it's a fun game. It's worth it since it's on Game Pass, you know. If it was something you had to buy $60 for, I'd say, maybe wait a little bit. Wait until there's more content. Wait until they get some bugs fixed. But since it's on Game Pass, it's like a no-brainer for me.
Just, yeah, that's fair. I mean,
you know, I feel like it is the conversation we continue to have like over and over again about games releasing on day one that aren't as polished as we'd like them to be. And then like your own affinity towards either the franchise or how you feel about a particular game definitely lets you waver of like your, you know, where you should be, you know, like, so I don't know. Like, I feel like I want to give every game its fair chance, but sometimes like I wanted to give Biomutant its fair chance, but I just felt the game was just lacking in so many different aspects. And it just, it's deterred me a lot from paying full price for a game.
Yeah. And Fake says in chat, he's played way more than us. He said he gave it a 7. So he's really enjoying it as well. Yeah. It's, I mean, it pulled me away from Mass Effect. So.
Yeah, that's not positive.
I mean, that's not really a feat for you, Mule. Like, I don't want to be that guy to point that out, but I will.
Squirrel.
Lupo came at it with, like, look, that's not a feat for you, and I'm like, that is not a positive.
I wore my Archangel shirt.
You don't want to be away from Mass Effect, you weirdo.
I wore my Archangel shirt just to show.
That doesn't matter. No, I should be wearing the Archangel shirt. Yeah. I'm the only one who's finished it.
Fair. Yeah. I haven't even finished the second one yet. I'm taking my time.
Yeah, but I knew you've been taking your time the whole time. Yule's just a...
Yeah, it's shiny. Yeah. It's bright and shiny.
I'll lead us into the next topic. So we got some news. I guess it's not really news. It's more like a rumor. So my best friend, Jeff Grubb, you know, everyone knows how much I love Jeff Grubb from VentureBeat, put out a rumor about EA potentially reviving a new an old franchise. The rumor going around that it may or may not be Dead Space. So I guess like really the topic of conversation we'll have here is number one, what could this be? So like I've had a few things thrown at me. Like, so Dead Space is one. Army of Two was something else that was thrown out at me. Potentially Mirror's Edge could be making a comeback. So we'll discuss like those options. And then the other thing would be like, you know, and then this is where Mule kind of threw his two cents in, like, revivals or remasters, what game would you want to see either brought back from the dead or just an old classic remastered to the current era? So we'll start by saying, like, just EA titles. If EA were to remaster or, like, now I'm getting confused. Revive one of their franchises from the dead, which one would you want to see revived?
Ooh.
What could this potentially be? So, like, I know for a fact that, like, there's definitely been rumors about Dead Space. There's been some rumors about Army of Two because it's a pretty popular franchise. Mirror's Edge has its times where it like does really well, and I think just like in different generations, Mirror's Edge could do very well. But like, what else? What are other people's thoughts? I know like people hate EA or don't want to say good things about EA. I love EA games. I love a lot of EA games.
What was that older Kung Fu game? Jade Empire. If they revive that and gave it like new combat and like aesthetics, I think that would be like an insta buy
game.
But they own it now. They own BioWare. So it's like,
but I don't think they own that because I don't know if it was published by another studio. I mean, it's certainly possible they could have acquired the rights to it and they could do that. So it'd be interesting. I'd be interested to see.
Like, that would be huge because I loved that game when it first came out. It was clunky as crap, but it was really fun, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a bad person to, like, ask this. I've had people ask me this already, and because I literally, like, cannot name EA games other than EA games that are, like, present or things that have already been listed. But so my two cents is that I don't think it's going to be Mirror's Edge only because they like recently had a game for Mirror's Edge, like within the last 5 years. So I would be kind of shocked if they were like, here's the one we're reviving, the game that we just had a sequel to 5 years ago. I guess they certainly could. But I would love for it to be Dead Space because I know that it's, I don't want to say that Dead Space is like a cult classic, but I think that it's enough of a kind of a niche game that people like, if you play, if you know, you know, but if you don't, you don't. And I think that the people who know would love to see it come back, and I think that there would be a lot of happiness for all the horror that people will be able to experience. So that's my two cents. I hope it's Dead Space for the people.
Survival horror, like,
I think,
sign me up.
I think people would be really happy to see it come back. It was devastating when that, I forgot what the name of that studio was that made
Visceral.
It. Visceral. Okay, I didn't forget. Yep. There was like devastation when it you know, went under. And so I think people would love to see EA, you know, revive it.
Well, like Visceral had the like that EA acquisition trope happen to them, you know, like Dead Space did very, very well. Dead Space 2 did very, very well. Then when Dead Space 3 came out, it kind of missed the mark sales wise and reception wise. So they said, you know what, we're going to take Visceral and put them on a different project. And they did Battlefield Hardline, which also was received with mixed reception.
Yeah, wasn't as good.
So that they kind of dissipated the studio, more or less. Sent different people different places, whatever was left,
kinda, or
what
they felt
whatever they found salvageable. So how about you, Crow?
See, the problem is I don't have that many EA games that I've played. I had to pull up a list. I'm like, I'm looking through stuff. I'm like, I haven't really played a whole lot of these.
Sad.
And it's like all the ones that I have, it's like the recent ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthem.
Like, I mean, yes.
That I know won't happen.
It's not going to be.
I want it. Yes, I want it.
Mute real quick.
But it's not going to happen. And I don't play sports games. Like, I'd be okay with that.
I don't think Titanfall is like dead yet, though. You know, like, I think Apex is just doing so well, and you know, Jedi Fallen Order is a licensed IP that Respawn has just so much resource allocated to other.
They're working
places
on Star Wars too right now. You know,
yeah. Oh, and the other Star Wars game too. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I'd be down for Titanfall 3 though. I would definitely be down for that for sure.
If we're talking just like another remaster or something in general.
Yeah, remaster. So we'll start backwards. So with remaster or remake, what would you want to see remaster or remade?
I had to think about it. Like, what did I grow up playing a lot of that hasn't seen like anything new? And it's Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not, obviously it's not canon anymore, but that was a really good game, and I loved it. I don't know how many hours I have in that game. It was just a blast.
Yeah,
really good story, interesting. Like they could rework it to make it something, or just make a new one altogether and make it more canon. But even if they just got like a remaster, that was a fun game.
You know,
yeah.
I'm gonna save you for last because I know what you're gonna say. So I'll wait to hear from everybody else first.
Is this specific to EA? Like a game on EA?
Just remastered, just remade. Game. What would you want to see remastered, remade?
You know, it's funny because I think that every game that I would like to see remastered, remade has been remade. And for a long time, I wanted Spyro. I wanted Crash, and then here we are. So I'm gonna go with. This may shock you guys. I don't have a Nintendo system, but like Kirby and the Crystal Shards was my jam. And if they remastered Kirby and the Crystal Shards, I would buy a Switch and play it. I loved that game.
I'm actually somewhat surprised that they haven't remastered or remade any of the Kirby games in general. A Kirby collection, you know, like they just keep making new iterations.
Kirby is a very fun game. I loved Kirby and the Crystal Shards, man. It was just those cool little, like, you got lightsabers and like all these very silly powers and stuff. The music was hopping. I would love to see Kirby and the Crystal Shards make a comeback.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first two Kirby games, like the Kirby's Dream Land, like on Nintendo and Game Boy, like one of my favorite games. And like I hear the song, I Crow hears me do it all the time. Like I'll hear the song in the back of my head, and just start singing like my kids sing that.
Yeah,
Green Greens, my favorite.
Yep.
So Mule, just get it out.
Just guess it. Just guess it, Lupo. You know what it's gonna be.
Can anybody else guess it? Because I know. Because anytime we talk about remake, Mule brings it up. Surprise, we haven't dedicated an entire podcast to this.
Dude, it was ahead of its time. Advent Ryzen. It was so good. It was so good, man. It was like Star Wars and like sci-fi, like shoot 'em anime all like mixed in together, you know? And it was just Advent Rising was so cool. But I will say this, I'll add on to that since that's the obvious one. You know what games that I thought was really cool? I was thinking about the other day and I was like, why has no one ever really redone like this particular game? I know there's been other games in the space of that game, but I would really like to see the old school Lord of the Ring games come back. Like modernize it, make it open world, you know, something like that. Yeah. You don't necessarily have to be one of the protagonists, but make it open world where you're just in the world, you know?
Who did Lord of the Rings? I think it was Lord of the Rings Conquest. It was the Battlefront-esque Lord of the Rings game. Who did that?
I don't know.
Don't recall.
Do you know? Do you remember that game at all?
Mm-mm.
There was a Lord of the Rings game where it was very similar to the original Star Wars Battlefronts, where you're mainly playing against, well, at least when I did, because I didn't have good internet back in the day, but you're basically just doing big horde fights against each other, like big army fights, and you could have like heroes that would come out. You could get the enough points to play a certain hero and different things. And that one, like, I had quite a few hours in that as well. But I feel like it was EA, but it's not showing up on any list that I'd look up.
I don't know. But I think we really need something like that. We need kind of a little bit of magic spiced in with some high fantasy, like Lord of the Rings. Like I think that would
remaster the Lord of the Rings MMO.
I don't want an MMO though. Like,
no,
because here's the thing. I feel like when you say MMO, like immediately my mind goes to the combat's not going to be great. Like just because you're so limited with the way MMOs are set up. And I feel like RPGs have better combat than MMOs.
It was EA. Lord of the Rings Conquest was an EA game.
Yeah. But like,
sorry, I had to look it up.
That's good. I feel like the RPG setup is just better than an MMO. Cause like it, maybe it's just the way it is. Like the SOTOR game has really good story, but the combat's lacking. Like, I would much rather have
more design choice than just like genre specific, yeah. You know, like
yeah.
I hate tab targeting too. And I won't play them. Like I've tried to play WoW. I've tried to play Final Fantasy. And I think Final Fantasy 15 does it. 14 does it pretty good. It's even close. Even tab targeting in SWTOR isn't the worst. Like, I feel like gun heroes are better than saber heroes in SWTOR. Like, just to have that, like that action fantasy, you know, as
you can opposed to like the whole moving aspect.
Yeah, because I hate the whole like standing in one place and just using my abilities. Like, I want to move around and parry and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't get that sensation from SWTOR, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So remaster, remake for me, I would love to see Star Fox, actually. Like, ooh. I would love to see like a modernized Star Fox game.
That's a good one. Well done.
I got a cool story about
redoing,
that.
Hold on, Metroid Prime. Just read it. Completely remaster the Metroid Prime trilogy.
I think they could do that well with the announcement of the new game. Like, yeah, that would be a good opportunity to do that.
Now, I've never played a Metroid game. Is Prime the actual, like,
first person
RPG one?
There's no RPG. It's a first person shooter.
Okay. That's what I meant. Like, it's not the platformer, 2D platformer.
Correct.
Yeah, I'd love to see something like that. I'd love to see a Metroid in kind of a Breath of the Wild style.
More open world, third person. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they'd ever do that
with another game, because I don't think they want another one of their own games to challenge Breath of the Wild. Not saying that they could, but I don't think they even want to put a game in that space.
The only one they want to challenge is Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, exactly. Mule, you were really on the edge of your seat there.
We got to hear the story.
That's because I got excited. There's a really cool documentary on Netflix called High Score, and it talks about the video game industry and how I got started and a lot of stuff like that, and goes into a lot of detail about like Nintendo, Sega, and things like that. So the guy that created Star Fox, it was like cutting edge at the time because I'd never been into like 3D space when it comes to like video games. And the guy that created it, the way that they came up with Fox and the other characters, is he used to go on these walks to this shrine in Japan. And one of the shrines was this statue of this big fox. And so he made the main character a fox. And I thought that was like really cool how like he basically went out in the world and found inspiration in the real world and used it to throw into the video game. Anyways, go watch the documentary. It's really good. Like high score. It's got some really good stuff in there. It talks about Doom and how Doom got started. And that's a really cool story, man. Like Doom changed the face of gaming in so many ways.
Yeah, for sure.
In so many ways. And it just go watch it. It's some really good stuff. But I just got excited when you said that because I literally just watched that a few days ago. And I was like,
I really enjoy Star Fox a lot. Next month for my kid's birthday, we're going to Nintendo World in New York City.
Nice.
And
they actually have the puppets that they use for the original Star Fox commercial in the store there. So like that's cool. Like I'm gonna take pictures and post it up in the Discord because it's just super cool. Like that's like huge nostalgia. Like and I say nostalgia purposely. That people don't remember sort of like that sort of stuff because like I was maybe 8 or so when that came out. So really cool stuff.
Right on.
All right. Well, I'm going to take over and talk a little bit. We're going to change completely. Complete topics, kind of. We're going to talk about streaming and how I streamed a remaster called Mass Effect Legendary Edition during a 13-hour charity stream. And I just wanted to talk a little bit with you guys because I know that Mewhorn Gaming, not just the man, the myth, the legend, Mewhorn, but Mewhorn Gaming in general has done charity streaming through our platform. And I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because I just had a really nice charity campaign experience and just wanted to talk to you guys, get your feels for how you feel about charity campaigning through the streaming platform. But I do just want to very briefly thank everybody, including Mewhorn Gaming, and friends to my channel and my community, and like one of my community members' grandparents who donated from Canada. Like my campaign raised $1,900 towards the Alzheimer's Association, which is just absolutely wild and stunning. And I'm so grateful to you guys who stopped by and saw me dressed up in a narwhal onesie, which is right here. I almost wore it. But it was great. It'll make an appearance. It's just, you know, gotta wait for the right moment. And that, you know, very briefly, for those of you who don't know, my great grandmother and my grandmother, her daughter, both died due to Alzheimer's and dementia. And it's just very near and dear cause to my heart. And I'm so truly appreciative that we were able to raise almost $2,000. Actually, we technically did raise $2,000. Somebody who donated works for Apple. And Apple has this amazing thing where if you submit that you've donated to a charity, they will consider matching that donation. And he confirmed with me that they matched it. It didn't go to my charity directly, but they did send $100 because he donated $100 to Alzheimer's. So we did raise $2,000, which is truly amazing. But what I really just wanted to talk about is like the power, if you will. I don't even like to use that word because sometimes there's a negative connotation, but the legendary chance run. I'll go over that in a second because I think that you guys would find it funny, you guys here at Mewhorn. But I do just want to talk a little bit about the more, not power, but more the platform that we have as streamers to do more than just stream games, right? Like, I think that with content creation and even podcasting and just everything involved with the platform of gaming and entertainment right now, it's more than just getting in front of a camera. So Mule, Crow, Lupo, we've all participated in charity events. You know, what do you guys think about using our platform for stuff like that?
As in using the streaming scene as making sure we're on the same page. I love it. like, I talk to people all the time that, like, don't know, like, they know what I do. They don't really understand it. Like, oh, you're just playing games on the internet. And, but then, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. Like, I'm helping with this out. And they're like, wait, what? They do stuff like that? And it's like, yeah, they've got weeks planned out for one of them, like, one of the major ones. And it feels good. It feels good to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, one of the first experiences I had with charity events is a well-known event, certainly amongst the Destiny community and mm-hmm. Gaming Community Expo. And just hearing, like, that first year when they hit $1 million, yeah. like, in their stream, I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm actually yep. wearing their shirt, one of the shirts right now.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, like, I'm not a big streamer, but how do I do that? You know, how do I help somebody through being a nerd? And, you know, I think the next year they made it so that, you know, they had their main charity marathon stream. But then, like, after the event, they were like, okay, you guys can do what they called your own satellite streams. And then all of the money that you donate will go directly to, you know, at the time, the Guardian Con total. And I was like, sign me up, Buttercup. You know, I was like, this is how we get involved. And that was my first real taste of, like, holy cow, I can just sit here and advocate and campaign for people who need things that I can't give them by myself. And I get to involve my community and involve people who also can't do it by themselves. And I know recently Mule, you know, first of all, again, thank you, not to, you know, just to Mulehorn Gaming in general for donating towards my campaign. But also, I know we recently just helped our friend Turbo out, you know, in a similar way, you know, and we were all, you know, you brought it up and we were all like, heck yeah, dude, this is our mission. This is our goal right now.
Yeah. I'll let Lupo talk before I say my.
Yeah. It's an extremely, like, empowering, you know, thing that you can do. You know, I did, I think, one or two sessions for the MHE campaign for Stack Up. And then I did one for, Mixer Partners for Guardian Con a couple years ago, and it was a blast. Like, not only is it, like, you're having fun doing it, but you're doing it for such a great cause, you know. And it's like you have so much visibility, like, as a partner, we had, you know, all eyes on us. Like, basically every Xbox in America could be on our stream at any given time of the day, you know. So to have that kind of visibility and be able to you know, speak to the charities and you know, make awareness to whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're raising money or raising awareness for. So I felt like it was a great responsibility and a great opportunity to, you know, raise awareness for what, you know, Stack Up and, you know, Stack Up and St. Jude specifically that I was, you know, that I was doing it for. But, you know, opportunity arises again, you know, like I'm less of a streamer now than I've ever been in my life before, but, you know, like, just try to do anything that I can when I have the ability to. And it's a great feeling to earn and see what it goes to. And then whenever they show, like, the slides and stuff like that, and just see, like, what you get, like, what comes out of what you're doing is just, like, such a great feeling as well, you know, knowing that everything that you put in is really making a difference in someone else's life is monumental. It can't be put into words.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, my relationship with streaming wavers, but I always say to myself, like, honestly, the reason that I want to keep doing it and having a presence is to be able to do campaign, to do charity work. And that's truly what I love the most about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever done one myself, like, actually done any streaming myself. I think I maybe did one way back in the day, early MHG, for like a couple hours. We did one a long time ago. I
24-hour Stack Up stream. Yep.
It was it that one? Yep. I think I might have done like an hour block on that. Yeah. But other than that, but I have, like, I've been there to help out. I was the group that I was with at the very beginning of Destiny, had a big maybe like a couple hour or so block on the original Guardian Con thing. And I was like, just the whole time, like, wow, like, what is this? what's happening here. But now that I'm like, I'm streaming myself now, I really want to eventually get into some of this myself and just help people out. Do what we can.
Heck yeah. Before I tell my my story that Fake wants me to share, what do you have to say there, Mule?
I mean, I think one of my favorite things about that I can be super proud of about MHG, and it's not being in front of the camera or streaming or having X amount of Twitter followers or subs or whatever it would be. I think my favorite thing is, and we don't broadcast this, but there's a lot of the admin, Prime, myself, and others have been able to directly impact multiple people in the gaming community that are around us. I think that's probably one of my favorite things about this. Mm-hmm. I just, some of the byproduct of that is I get to talk about things that I enjoy, but I also get to build relationships with people that I would have never have met. And I get to impact those people in some way, even if it's as simple as a, hey, head up. Just a little bit of encouragement goes a long way. Doesn't always have to be money. And the fact that you know my face because of streaming, and if I can be that person that gives you that encouragement, it just makes it, it's what I live for, honestly. It's what I live for, is to help others that way. And it just to see people that has been impacted, whether it be through Stack Up or, you know, people that are helping fight off depression or getting people in contact with other people that are professional counselors and things like that. Or just creating a place for people to come together. It doesn't matter where you are in your political spectrum, who you are, that you can come together and feel encouraged, I think is something that I've always been really proud of with MHG and the work that we've all done that are all a part of our organization. And I've always said it, I don't know if a lot of people know it, but when you look at that icon, you can see right here, the MHG and the little circles all around the MHG. I've always said that's the amazing people in our community that surround us. And without them, that would not make up MHG. And so it's like a symbiont circle. It's like we exist because we exist together and we help each other and we raise each other up. And I'm getting goosebumps as I'm talking about it. But it's like, you know, that I love that stuff. And if it's something as simple as when Lupo was thinking about streaming and helping, like talking to Lupo and saying, yeah, man, let's get this thing going. You know, or if it was whatever it would be. That was just an example. I'm not saying necessarily all that happened, but like, yeah, you know, like stuff
he
like
doesn't,
that.
I love that. Yeah, no, he doesn't encourage Lupo ever. Never.
No.
Always putting him down. Yeah. Just beating him in the dirt.
I think that, you know, when you are somebody who chooses to have a platform, whether it's, you know, you're streaming for one person or, you know, ninja numbers, you have a responsibility to use your platform well, I think. Yeah. And I'm really proud that, you know, most of the people in my circle, you know, including you guys here and the people certainly that I associate with through Mulehorn, we're all doing that in one way or the other. So I just wanted to share, you know, my experience. I truly was humbled, you know, by that. I set out with a goal of 450, if only because of what I raised last year. And then we hit 1900 and I had to come up with a whole bunch of other goals. And if you guys have questions that you want my dad to answer on stream, I'm accepting Q&A. We already have one phenomenal question called, is a hot dog a sandwich? So if you have any questions you'd like Rad Dad to answer, that was the original, like, my state goal. It was a Rad Dad stream because my dad always calls when I'm streaming. So it's like a joke in my community now. And now we're going to have a stream with my dad and me eating pizza and drinking beer.
That's awesome.
Together. But I do want to share with you guys, because I know Fake wants me to talk about it real quick. So one of the things that I heard from Nate, our friend Nate Johns, he said that he came across somebody playing Mass Effect, but the whole playthrough was similar to D&D, where somebody was rolling a die to make the decisions for them. So I gave that a shot on my own. And it was really, really horrible in a very funny way. So on my stream, I was like, guys, here's what we're going to do. Because I want, what I really wanted to do was a playthrough of Mass Effect with my community, because so many members of my community play it. And I said, but here's what we're doing. And I set up a command in my chat, !role, and then it's 1 through 6. You know, most of the dialogue options are only 3. And it was horrible. My friend Tristan, who's part of my community, loves Tally, and he rolled, and every single roll was like, Tally, I hate you. Like, I don't want you to come with me.
We don't want
you. Why are you on my ship? You're going to steal all of our schematics. And he was like dying. He was in chat like, Tally, best girl, I love you. I'm so sorry. So, so that is, if you guys are interested in watching that, I will be doing that on my stream. I'll be picking up where we left off, which is we are about to go to Pharos first.
What is that stream? I want to see this.
July 6th, Tuesday, okay. July 6th at 8 p.m. So, and if you're somebody who wants to roll the die in chat, I also have a command for initiative. So if you're familiar with D&D, when it's time for combat, you roll for initiative, and then we'll go in order. So I'm literally having people roll for every dialogue option, every decision we make. I do have some executive say, like I will not be waiting until after Novaria to go get Liara. We will be going to get Liara before, not Novaria, excuse me, Vermeier. Spoilers, if you wait till after Vermeier to go get Liara, she like hallucinates in the bubble. It's really funny. But that's what we're doing. I have no idea if I'm going to romance somebody. I will have to choose how the game ends by a roll of the die.
That's good.
You know, we could have a no decision ending.
That's
so
gonna be
it's going to be nutty. So please stop by. Thank you, Milhorn. But yeah, cool. So I'm still rolling for Liara. Yeah, better not be bad rolls, Faker. I will disown you. Just throwing it out there.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep.
You're unmodded.
Oh, my girl. Yeah, unmodded. Unmodded. But that's all I got. Thank you guys for your contribution to that topic. Yeah. I think it's a good one, important one.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I think that about wraps up the podcast. We talked about a lot of stuff. I hope you guys that are watching here on YouTube really enjoyed it. And all you guys that are listening out on the audio universe, wherever you are, whatever platform you're listening on, I hope you enjoyed it. If you like this podcast, make sure you visit MilhornGaming.com about page to find more podcasts like the Bindu podcast and the Halo Infinite podcast. And this one right here, the Analog Assault podcast. And if you're looking for great ways to support the podcast, check out our description below. We have an epic creator code, Amazon store, swag, and more. You can like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes, and you can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Blow it up! Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, shit. I miss you, Primetime.
This is where Prime says explosions.
Explosions!
Explosions!
That was better.
I should go. Fair.